Warning. You've reached On the Box with great comfort and are now in a biblical truth zone. Place all questions about theology, current events, and evangelism on the box, where they'll be weighed against the truth of God's Word. Ready your hearts and minds. You're about to be inspired and equipped to fulfill the Great Commission. Programming to engage in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Friday, and welcome to On the Box once again. I'm looking forward to Monday.
Why? What's happening Monday?
Nobody likes Mondays, but I like this Monday. We're up with Dr. James Dobson in studio with him at Colorado Springs.
So I should plan for you not to be on the show on Monday?
Yeah, I should have told you. Oh. I'm actually telling you. I'm not here Monday. It's Mark Spencer.
You know, Anita's, I don't know. I don't know how long of a vacation he gave him.
He's on assignment.
Is he going with you to...
No, he's on assignment, on vacation. He's never on vacation. He's doing something. He's sharing the gospel with his brothers.
Yeah, but is he gone for a week or 2 weeks?
I haven't any idea.
Ron, how long is he going to be gone?
Who?
Mark, listen to the show.
Okay, Ron, next week.
Ron is the Supreme Allied Commander of all
like
things.
And Anita's over in England.
Anita's in England with Liz. And they're sharing the gospel. And I will be going to London for 2 weeks for the Olympics.
Yeah, what are we
going
to do without you?
You'll find something.
Yeah, I think Easy's going to fill in.
Easy is. He's going to fill in for 2 whole weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I think that will establish permanent job security
for him. So what are you going to do on Monday?
When he gets back, he probably won't want to do it.
What are you going to do on Monday?
What am I going to do on Monday?
Because Scotty's not allowed on...
Scotty's only allowed on Thursdays. Mark might be back, but only physically.
Uh-huh.
And Ron doesn't want to play. So
I'll tell you what.
I have done the show alone once or twice.
Get the dummies that are in the store and put them each side of you.
Okay, how's that going to look if I start talking to the dummies?
But you do most shows.
No.
Okay, let's get on with this.
Scared me. Remember the story we shared?
Which one? Which story?
It was like a joke.
Oh, okay.
The kid, the lifeguard that was
fired for
saving someone's life.
Yeah, I remember that.
More to the story.
Good.
More to the story. And this is from...
Should you give a little synopsis for all the 2 and 3 new people that have joined the audience? Probably be a good idea. That'd be professional.
Yeah, if you're one of the few people across the country who didn't catch all of the shows this week. There was a young man serving as a lifeguard for a private agency on a beach in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The company he worked for had a certain section of the beach, and that's where they do their lifeguard.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy starts to drown outside of their assigned area. The kid says, I probably should go save that man since he's drowning.
The policy was he was to call 911 if someone was drowning outside.
Hello?
Of the
911? I'm a lifeguard with an emergency. Someone's drowning. Aren't you going to help him? I can't. I'm getting $8.25 an hour, and they tell me I can't go across that line.
Well, guy sure talks funny.
He does.
He's
got a lot of adrenaline pumping.
So anyway,
the kid got fired because he went out in the water, brought this man in who was turning blue. There was a nurse on the beach. She helped to revive him.
Mm-hmm.
He's apparently now in good condition and hopefully independently wealthy so he can pay for this young man's losing of his job.
$8.95 an hour.
All right, so the South Florida lifeguard fired for leaving his post so he could save a swimmer outside his coverage zone, said Thursday. He's been offered his job back.
Whoa.
Wow, imagine that. A little bit of pressure.
From about 6 billion people.
But Tomas Lopez told CNN he does not plan to return to work.
Ooh.
It's another chapter in my life closed, and I'm just going to continue to get my schooling finished and get on with my career, Lopez told CNN. 21-year-old said his phone has been ringing off the hook with journalists trying to get his side of the story. Jeff Ellis Management, the company for which Lopez worked, had said lifeguards cannot go beyond the perimeter of the beach they are responsible for overseeing. Jeff Ellis told CNN's Aaron Burnett out front on Thursday evening that he didn't approve of the decision to fire Lopez. Tough! It all rolls uphill on this one.
I know how to get him back in his job. They need to offer him $9.
But he already says he doesn't want it.
He doesn't want it?
He wants
wouldn't
to
even tap him an extra 5 cents an hour?
He wants to go back to school.
Okay.
Seems like he doesn't want to work for a company that fires you for doing your job.
Yeah.
Something about that. Clearly, he should not have been terminated, the owner of the company said. I know that he has tried to do the right thing. Three other lifeguards quit in protest, and two others were dismissed after saying they would have acted as Lopez did.
Uh-huh.
Quote, they told us we would be liabilities, and we had to be let go, lifeguard Travis Madrid told CNN. Now here's, I'm just going to skip through some other stuff because we got a lot to talk about today. Lopez said he started the $8.25 an hour job 4 months ago and had hoped to continue 25. Working there when he goes to Broward College in the fall. Quote, I have no doubt I did the right thing, he said Thursday. I believe I did what was right and that if someone needs help, you're going to go help them regardless if you're a lifeguard or not. That line really stood out to me.
Yes.
Yeah, tell me why.
Any human being should not allow any other human being to die if he has the ability to save him. That's
right.
Called depraved indifference, and it's a violation of civil law, and you go to jail for it.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do we see any parallels to that?
I think we do.
Go right ahead.
Biblically, every Christian should be deeply concerned that all around us people are dying. We have a moral responsibility. Paul spoke of having this moral responsibility. He says, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I open my mouth boldly as I ought to speak. So if we love our neighbors ourselves and we profess to have the love of God within us, we should be desperately trying to save those around us with the help of God.
Yeah, enough of this nonsense of, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I'm not evangelist, so I think I'm just going to let people die and go to hell and wait for an evangelist to roll up to share the gospel with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Spurgeon's words. Have you no wish for others to be saved, then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that.
Yeah. We have guests!
We do?
We have guests on the show, in the studio. We do.
Mm-hmm.
I seem more excited than you.
I contain my excitement.
Do you?
Yeah,
I had some trail mix before I came down, and I think that got me all excited.
Ties and cereal.
Did you?
Yeah. American needs more cereal.
So we have with us a studio full of people.
Mm-hmm.
One is Gary Board. You know what Gary Board's claim to fame is?
Tell me.
He lived 40 years after graduating from Lakewood High School.
Oh, that's right.
And he's down here to celebrate his 40th reunion. I went to my... do you ever go to any high school reunions? Yours are in New Zealand.
I wouldn't, dear.
Why? Why wouldn't you?
No one would recognize me.
Why?
And I wouldn't recognize anybody else.
You don't think anyone would recognize you?
I don't think so.
Maria and I went to our 10th.
Your 10th?
Yeah. And
it takes a brave man to go to a 40th.
And the people were just as arrogant 10 years later, only with 30 pounds more around the waist.
That's the difference.
Than they were when they were 18 years old. I can only imagine what they're like, you know, at the age of 50.
That's
so.
Four times everything.
And then we have the Evans family, and a whole lot of them. We have Russ Evans, who is not the father, but the brother.
Yeah.
No.
There we are. We've got our high-tech camera.
Starting from the far right, we have Russ, and then we have Sheila, who is the mom of all the kids, and we have Anna. Hi, Anna!
Where's Anna?
We have David, who is the dad, and we have Noah, and we have Paige.
Hey.
Paige is going to spend a month in Germany.
Oh, really?
Hanging out.
Oh, go to Munich. There's some great surfing in Munich.
She's going to collect steins.
Did you know that?
What is it, like an outdoor-indoor surfing thing?
No, it's a river that moves very fast, and there's something in the river.
It's man-made.
Yes, and we filmed it when we filmed for the season.
Yeah,
yes,
it's
wonderful.
Man-made.
Yeah, and
it's like a river.
What's a stein?
A stein?
Yes.
It's a big mug.
Oh, so that's where Einstein and all the
Einstein?
Steins all come from.
Yes.
He got a big mug.
We have an on-the-box testimony that you shared with the entire staff already this morning.
Oh, yes.
I think you liked it. This comes from Tori Courier. He made sure to mention he's a male. I have messed up on that a few times on the show. And he's from Midland, Michigan. He writes, I appreciate all of you on the Box more than words can express. All of you have saved so many people from the fires of hell. Well, Jesus did that, but maybe he used us once or twice. And also inspired and trained so many people that have saved countless people from the fires of hell. Thank you so much for your ministry. Because of all of you, I am a biblical Christian that preaches the gospel and hands out tracts everywhere I go. Yesterday, I open-air preached for the first time, and it went great. I was not nervous at all. Huh? What?
He must have been terrified.
Yes, right. Went well beyond nervous.
Yeah.
God is amazing. I appreciate all of you more than words can express.
Congratulations, Tori.
Way to go, Tori.
Breaking the sound barrier.
That's right.
We need more like you. We'd like millions to raise up and preach the gospel right throughout this country. Wouldn't that
That's
be
right.
good?
Yeah, I think Noah should open air preach this weekend.
Everybody should.
California.
Yes.
He's 12.
Yeah.
you know, and instead of just hanging out at the beach and having fun, he ought to get up on a box and risk his life.
Mm-hmm.
Think Mom and Dad will go for that?
We'll see.
Okay. All right, this comes from Spencer. Hello, On the Box. My name is Spencer. I'm 14 years old, and I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've been to Tulsa. Nice place. I watch your show every day, and I'm a false convert.
This something doesn't work here. Yeah, but I watch every day and I'm a false convert.
Well,
yeah,
let's
carry on.
Well, I think I am. He's a little less definite now. I think I am because when my dad talks about the gospel, it angers me for some reason. I'm not sure if it's because I feel guilty or not. I want to be truly saved because I don't want to go to hell. I know that's not a good reason, but I hope to love God more in the future because he has given me so much. Thank you. So what would you say to this 14-year-old kid who's not sure?
Well, if you're not sure of your salvation, make sure we're talking about eternity, Spencer. Death and eternity is a heartbeat or a lack of heartbeat away. So right now, just stop watching this program and go somewhere, drop to your knees and make Psalm 51 your own personal experience.
I have nothing to say. You told him to stop watching the program. I've got nothing to say, man.
Well, there are other people here.
he does bring up something really...
He's not listening.
But I'm just going to talk to you now for a little bit because I have something to say. He does bring up a very good point, mm-hmm. and he kind of answers the question himself. I want to be truly saved because I don't want to go to hell. I know that's not a good reason. And I think it's real important that when we're sharing the gospel that we're not just simply scaring people out of hell,
mm-hmm.
But that we are drawing them towards Christ and his cross. You know, salvation is not simply a get-out-of-hell-free card.
Right.
If all you want is to not go to hell, and if all you want is to go to heaven, and you have no concern of whether or not Jesus Christ is there, then you're not going to heaven.
Right.
If all you're concerned about is living your best life now, then, up in yonder heaven, then you're likely not born again. You mm-hmm. should want to be with Jesus Christ and be in his presence, regardless of where he
right.
is physically.
Right. Yeah, Jesus said, fear not him who has power to kill your body and afterwards do no more, but fear him who has power to kill your body and cast your soul into hell. Fear him. So God's provided a way for our escape. So looking to the cross, we should be filled with love and gratitude for God's kindness and not giving us exactly what we deserve.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your daughter,
Rachel. Yes.
Went out to her local abortion clinic today.
With her friend Christina. I got text messages exactly when it was going on saying, please pray. There's a lady crying at the moment. Pray that she doesn't kill her baby. And so it takes
me. So they were having some conversations.
Oh, yes.
Today.
Yeah, they handle things differently. They just sit there until someone comes past and just try and engage them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a great, great strategy.
Well, I used that strategy yesterday morning at our local abortion clinic.
Okay.
There's an abandoned restaurant next door, and the properties are separated by a chain link fence.
Mm.
And so I've been going there a couple times a week in the morning and praying about what's going on at the clinic, praying for those who are going there, working there, and what have you. And as I'm praying, I notice a linen truck pull up, and the guy's taking clean linens in and breaking dirty linens out.
Right.
And so I started praying, Lord, let me have a conversation with this man. Let me find a way to get him to stop, and please let him speak English. Because I could tell he was Hispanic, yeah. And so my heart starts to race as I see him finishing up and closing up.
Are you saying Tony Miano has a problem with the fear of man?
No, I don't say I have a problem with it, but I have it.
You have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you?
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Why?
Because you're loud and bold, and to know that there's something in you that's like, and us quiet chaps is really comforting.
You're not a quiet chap.
Listen to how I'm talking. I'm a quiet chap.
You're not standing on a box underneath the beach.
So what happened?
What happened is I waved the guy down.
You ignored your
fears? Held him at gunpoint. No. I was not armed. But I waved him down.
You ignored your fears.
I ignored my fears. Mm-hmm. I walked up to the chain link fence. I waved him down. He stopped, kind of looked at me funny, opened up his sliding door to his truck. And I found out his name was Ramon, engaged him in conversation, asked him if he knew what was going on in the clinic, and he immediately went like this.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, I do. He professes to be a Christian, spent some time sharing the gospel with him, reasoning with him about, you know, maybe he should find another route. And he said, I've tried that, In fact, he asked for a different route and got this one in our area, and then found out there was another abortion clinic on his route. He's talked to, prayed with his pastor about it, but he was a little iffy on the gospel. Was kind of relying on good works and things like that. So took him through the law and the gospel, gave him a 180 business card and a gospel tract, and 15 minute conversation with him, and it was great. Yeah. There was no weeping or gnashing of teeth. There was no anger or bitterness or anything. I simply flagged him down and engaged him in conversation. It went really, really well. And so, you know, you say that that's what Rachel's doing at the clinic she's at, and I saw firsthand that that kind of approach to people definitely worked.
Yeah. So, well, praise the Lord.
Yeah, and we're going to be meeting some of us in leadership next week to talk about how we want to, as a ministry, approach ministry at our local clinic and hopefully lead others by example. So you could be praying for us as we work some of those things out. So.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Good work, Tony.
All right, so Neil asks this. Neil is an Academy grad. He says, I'm a middle school teacher in Oregon, and I recently ran into one of my former students. When I had him as a student, he professed to be a Christian. However, when I spoke with him recently, he told me how he had been on heroin, overdosed actually, and had dropped out of school. I will be taking him out to lunch next week with the hopes of mentoring him academically and discipling him spiritually. What advice would you have for me confronting him lovingly and asking him about being a false convert? What other advice would you have for me in this situation? Also ask for your prayers for this young man as he holds a special place in my heart. This sounds like a Greg L. Sasser story. You know, Greg is a Greg is a high school teacher and looks for opportunities away from the confines of the classroom to share the gospel with present and past students. And he's had a number of situations like this. But what advice would you give to Neil?
Well, firstly, God bless you, Neil, for caring about this kid. And obviously, he was a false convert was a false convert, and he needs to be confronted with the biblical gospel. So I would do that. And I'd be very, very thorough and very careful, because people with a drug problem are candidates for a false gospel, because they want to come to God for a cleanup. They want to come to God because they've got a problem, whether it be alcohol or drugs or whatever. So make sure you don't address his felt needs. Really make him tremble and that he's sinned against God. And also be very, very careful when it comes to anyone who's on heroin, because they'll lie to their grandmother and steal from, beat up their grandmother and just to get money from them to fix their habit. And when I used to work in the drug prevention center many years ago, I understood this by relating. When you're in a dentist chair and the dentist says don't swallow, and you feel as though you've got to swallow or you'll go crazy. You ever had that experience? You just think, I've got to swallow. That's the physical addiction your body has. And this is what happens with a heroin addict. He is just going to die unless he gets that shot. So he'll lie to you to get money. He'll do anything you want to get money from you. So make sure you're aware of that and don't give him money. And just give him the unadulterated gospel. Make sure you cause him to tremble in the fear of God. So when he does repent with God's help, it'll be thorough. And God will deliver him and make him a new creature in Christ.
Now, I'm sure some are familiar with your story and your background. But there are probably a lot of viewers who aren't aware, maybe just heard for the first time, that you did serve in that way, that you did have ministry to drug addicts. How did that come about? How did that start?
Well, I wrote I used to be in a surfing scene, and I became a Christian, and my buddies weren't interested in Christianity, so they carried on in their surfing, and they got bored and got into drugs, and I counted up, and five of them had died through the drug culture. So I went to the funeral of the last one, and I was horrified to see his sister lying across his coffin screaming his name. He got stabbed in the groin with a broken bottle in a fight over drugs. So I put out a pamphlet called My Friends Are Dying. Some gentleman came in, gave me $1,000, which is a lot 30 years ago. I had 100,000 printed up and put them throughout the schools in our country, and that got me nationwide publicity. So I wrote a book called My Friends Are Dying, which became a bestseller. And so invites started coming up all across the country for me to speak. So I opened a drug prevention center on High Street, which is an unfortunate choice of street names for a drug center, High Street. And so I was in charge of the drug prevention center, and I had these guys working from, but unfortunately I preached a man-centered gospel in those days. And I used to go to all groups and preach Christ crucified, but I'd say that Jesus is the answer to the drug problem, because people had a God-shaped vacuum in their heart and only God could fill it, and blah, blah, blah. And then when a guy got murdered in Australia for being anti-marijuana, and they never found his body, I thought, if I'm going to be killed, I want it for being a Christian and not for being anti-drug. So I dropped the whole lot and started itinerating.
Wow. So how long did you do that? How long did you
Probably about 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
So that was all before you started Open Air Preaching?
No, during Open Air Preaching. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was 1974 I started Open Air Preaching. That was probably 1977 through to about 82.
So did you do some Open Air Preaching before you started using the law?
10 years wasted my time.
Really?
Yes, 10 years calling out the people that had something missing in their heart.
Now, did you see a distinct difference in the reaction of the crowd when you went from that to the law?
Huge.
How huge?
It was making sense. You know, instead of holding up something that's better than beer or drugs, this is the reason you've got to come to Christ, because there's a judgment day and you violated God's law. And it was a huge help for me too, because now it made sense what I was doing, and I wasn't competing with all those other things that life can give you that give you pleasure.
Yeah. Wow, fascinating. Sent you a couple of videos this morning to watch. Both of them I thought kind of interesting, one particularly ridiculous. I think we have time for both. First one is a video of one of our U.S. congressmen by the name of Andre Carson.
He's not my congressman.
Well, in the country. He is a United States congressman.
I watched it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not excited about
it. Okay. And he had this to say about public schools. Take a look.
America will never tap into educational innovation and ingenuity without looking at the model that we have in our madrasas, in our schools, where innovation is encouraged, where the foundation is the Quran. And that model that we are pushing in some of our schools meets the multiple needs of students. Most of us are visual learners. Some of us are auditory learners. We learn by hearing. Many of us are kinesthetic learners. We learn by doing, touching, and feeling. I have found, as my wife is a principal and I have a 5-year-old daughter, Salima, that we need an educational model that is current, that meets the need of our students. America must understand that she needs Muslims.
So, Ray, what were your thoughts when you saw that video?
My thoughts is the enemy is coming like a flood in every different direction, and
yep.
The only answer isn't to chase after different little floods, it's to stand up and preach the gospel. And if we've got 1 million people, hear what he said, we learn by doing. Some of us learn by doing. That's how to learn evangelism. Just do it. Sink or swim. Get up on a box and begin preaching. And as I said, if millions of Christians stood up and proclaimed the gospel, God's word doesn't return void. It's never in vain. We can see this nation turned around and God raise a standard against this flood that's coming in every direction.
And I believe it won't be too long, whether or not it's in our lifetime or not, where the Quran will be accepted as curriculum in the public schools.
Not if I can help.
Well, I mean, we got places around the United States, a city in particular in the Midwest that is all but under Sharia law.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you shame on you if you're a Christian and you go to one of their festivals and try to share the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty scary stuff. This last one, we're going to end the show. We're going to end the week, Ray, with this one. Woman offers to sell her soul on eBay.
Let's go to it, because it makes some comments.
So far, nobody's made a bid on the soul of Lori N., but her eBay ad gets a lot of hits, and that's encouraging. Lori was a passenger in a car hit by a drunk driver 5 years ago, in a coma for 3 weeks, stroke, broken hip, broken pelvis, leg, collarbone, sternum, ribs, collapsed lung, lost a breast. A freelance writer who can't write anymore. She gets by on part-time work. Lori figured since her body's shot, why not market her soul?
What I'm going to deliver is the opportunity for someone to save my soul. They can save it through prayer. They can save it through conversion. And I'm also going to get a certificate detailing the white and black marks on my soul.
Sort of a spiritual Carfax, the good and the bad.
Is this a cry for help?
I guess you could say that. I'm at the point now, I'm tired, I don't feel good, you know. I'm near the end of my rope. I really am.
Lori realizes her ad may offend some people's religious beliefs, but she hopes just to make contact, maybe with somebody else's soul.
This is sadder than it is funny.
My heart broke for that woman.
Yeah.
I've got Manuel in contact with a reporter to see if we can contact
her. Excellent.
I've written a book called, I can't remember what it's called, but it's about Job and Job's experience, and I'd love her to read it before it's published. What an absolute tragedy that she's just crying out for help. Drunk drivers make me very, very angry. But I'm going to share something. This may sound like I'm a little bit paranoid, but I got a few minutes, a minute and a half to do.
It's your show, boss. You take all the time you want.
Be careful on the roads. 40,000 people die every year in America. So if you've got two lanes, it's going to make me sound paranoid, but this is my philosophy. If you've got two lanes driving, drive in the lane on the outside away from the middle of the road. Because death is on the other side. You don't know who's driving on the other side. And what the government has done to protect you from the idiot on the other side, who could be texting or drinking or whatever, is they've painted a line down the middle as your protection. So if you've got a choice, travel on the outside. When you go through a set of lights, don't trust your life to the lights. I read recently in, I think, Sweden or somewhere, people were getting killed at a set of lights. So they removed the lights altogether, then they put in a roundabout. You know what those are?
Yeah.
And the fatalities went non-existent because instead of people zooming through the lights and trusting the green light with their life, blind faith, they thought, ooh, I better exercise some discernment. And they slowed down, they looked to the left, they looked to the right, and then they went around the roundabout. So there's no deaths.
Wow.
So when you go through a set of lights, don't say to yourself, green, safe. Say to yourself, green, there could be an idiot going through a red light on this side. I'm going to slow down slightly and just have a little check, and it could save your life.
Yeah. So pray for that lady.
It was
obviously a cry for help. Pray that Manuel is able to get a hold of her,
yes,
that we're able to get the authentic gospel to her, and that the Lord saves her soul, and that she stops trusting in men and trusts in Christ.
Amen. So pray for us. We're on Dr. Dobson's program. Easy's coming up with me. I've got about an hour or two with him, so it's a wonderful opportunity. Pray for us on Monday, and we trust you have a blessed weekend. And we've got 4 seconds. Want to say anything?
Bye!
For questions about On the Box with Ray Comfort, or to submit questions for future shows, please email onthebox@livingwaters.com. That's onthebox@livingwaters.com. On the Box with Ray Comfort is an outreach of Living Waters. For more resources to inspire and equip you to fulfill the Great Commission, check out livingwaters.com or call toll-free 1-800-437-1893. Now go and preach the gospel.